Vladimir Putin is tightening his grip in Russia. Her family says a ballerina was arrested in Yekaterinburg this month. CBS's MTS Tayyab.
The dual American and Russian citizen was arrested in the central city of Yekaterinburg on suspicion of treason and fundraising for Ukraine's army after making a $51 donation to a Ukrainian charity.
News comes less than a week after Alexei Navalny's death. American prosecutors argued for Julian Assange extradition at court in London today. Supporters of the WikiLeaks founder rallied outside.
Julian Assange has done nothing wrong. He wasn't even a whistleblower. He was simply reporting, publishing what he was given.
Pounding rain and powerful winds are finally dying down in California, leaving behind serious damage. A massive tree crashed through Jacqueline Ellis' home north of Sacramento.
I'm just trying to pick up the pieces and see what I have left.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Republican prosecutor is asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to rule on the state's abortion law. Sheboygan County District Attorney Joel Ermansky is appealing a Madison judge's ruling that Wisconsin's law bans feticide but not elective abortion. Ermansky says he wants the high court to take the case directly. After months of speculation, Republican Eric Hovde is officially in the race for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin. He made his campaign announcement yesterday on social media.
Everything is going in the wrong direction. All Washington does is divide us and talk about who's to blame. And nothing gets done. That's not the country I know and love.
Wisconsin is a key swing state, and the winner here could decide the balance of power in the Senate. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The governor started his day at a Kenosha bar. It's a stop that continues Tony Evers' tour, highlighting the passage of what he calls fair maps. State Senator Bob Wirch joined Evers at the Union Park Tavern today. The event follows the governor's recent signing of Wisconsin Act 94, which had Evers sign the maps passed by the legislature. The governor claims his maps reflect the people's will. All of the referendum questions put forward by the area school districts were rejected by voters last night. Wilmot Union in Kenosha County got close with 45% of voters supporting a $7.5 million referendum. Waterford's two questions, seeking a total of $91 million, were also unsuccessful. Burlington's $11 million operational referendum was also declined. Election results are online at waukradio.com. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
The Badgers get a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team able to pick up a win at the Kohl Center, 74-70 over Maryland. They have the rest of the week off before a road trip against Indiana next Tuesday. The Wisconsin Badgers football team will play the Northwestern Wildcats this fall at Lambeau Field, according to a report that's Saturday, October 19th. Baseball? Brewers owner Mark Antanasio says there's no signed deal yet to bring back pitcher Brandon Woodruff for 2 years. The Brewers owner reminding everyone a year ago they said the Cardinals would win the division.
There was a team that was widely picked to win last year that finished 21 games behind us, and we finished 9 games ahead of the Cubs last year. So I appreciate the friendly competition, and we're just going to focus on what we need to do. Look, I think the division's clearly better this year.
That's the Brewers' Mark Antanasio. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly sunny and mild today. We'll get to around 54 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 35. Tomorrow, a little light rain in the morning, then partly cloudy, 49. On Friday, sunny, 38. But we will bounce back with 40s and 50s into the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is Don from the Devil's Advocates. Tune in Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. We'll bring you the Wisconsin primary results. And did you know there's Nazis in Nashville?
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 a.m. and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. And as always, I'm joined by my guest, the one and only Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, it used to be a lot easier before we had all these stream outlets and we could just call and talk on the phone without having combed our hair or brushed our teeth or washed our faces. Now they can see us.
Though we used to have to go into studios, Earl, and then you still have to brush your hair, wash your teeth, brush your teeth, get dressed. So there was only this intermediate period, really.
How you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you?
A lot of stuff going on at the state level. So the governor signed this legislation and the maps, and there, I got to tell you, I don't have to tell you, you already know, there are many people on the Democratic side of things who aren't very happy that that happened. Why did he do it?
So we have to hold two thoughts here. One is these are extraordinarily better maps than we've had in 14 years. And there is a possibility of the Democrats controlling one or both houses or having a very close margin, which could increase, the influence of 50% of the state on the lawmaking power of the state, which you'd think would be natural, but of course has not been for 14 years. We haven't had democracy. The governor's virtue and his vice is he loves, and it's his brand, the bipartisan compromise, whether it's there or not. And he's done many good things, but the mistakes he's made has been his craving for them. And they do increase his popularity, but, the governorship is not just about popularity. It is about getting things done. And so what he did was he offered maps that were not as good as the other maps submitted by Democrats or independent groups. And the Republicans came to the conclusion, because of the blunt force of the state Supreme Court and the majority that they thought was going to do them worse the way they see the world. In other words, make the maps even fairer. And so they grudgingly, they tried to do fake Evers maps, passed Evers's maps, So he gets to claim victory, do his compromise. He compromised with himself. It was entirely unnecessary. And it makes it very hard for the Democrats to control both houses of the legislature. Now, you could just say, oh, that's partisan, and all the Democrats, almost all of them, voted against these maps when they came for a vote in the Senate and the Assembly a week ago, that they're just being political. They just want more power. No. Some of them, maybe. I mean, look, parties have interests, so there's self-interest there. But ultimately, politics and why anyone should be in it, why they should run office, why we should trust them to hold it, is about achieving things for average people. So we're drastically underfunding public education and expanding an unpopular voucher program, right? And harming kids. There are school closings, layoffs, underfunding of vital programs all over the state, and we have a surplus. Why? Because we don't have a Democratic legislature. They're the only party right now that wants to adequately fund public education. That's widely popular. It's more Democratic to do it. The working people, your union, you have a union background. Earl, your career is based on having, you lived back at the time when there were good union jobs, and you had one, right?
Right.
And you're, the people who came after you in your community, communities around the state,
didn't get it. Right.
Act 10 was a huge blow, as was everything we've allowed to happen to manufacturers.
Right to work.
Yeah, we can't change that without both houses. They've had illegitimate rule for 14 years where they were in charge of the legislature, no matter what, by huge majorities. And they did all these things, and they have to be undone. Then there are the things we need to do, not only public education funding, but the climate crisis, what we can do to build a fair economy that lifts all boats in the new green economy that's rising. Childcare, you can't work without good childcare and be a parent, and there isn't. It's unaffordable and unavailable. Just so many things. Paid family medical leave. For the only many states have moved forward with the only country in the world that guarantees you 0 weeks. You can't survive as a working parent without, or just a person, even if you're not, don't have kids, without paid family leave. So consequentially, that's where morality comes down. Can we do things that need to get done to help average people? And we can't. It's harder to do under Evers' maps than allowing the Supreme Court process to continue. So that's why we're upset. But we still, with Evers' maps, have an ability to potentially do that. It's harder, particularly in the Assembly. And we all need to stop. I guess this is it. We can't control it. We now need to go and recruit good candidates and win these races. So, Earl, it's important for us to, from a power standpoint, understand why the Republicans maximize their power and some Democrats won't, and how that harms our state. But then the big power thing now, the thing we can control, is getting as great candidates and winning as many of these races as we can, and trying to get that Democratic trifecta, that is both houses of the legislature and the governor.
You know, Dr. Craig, the Governor Evers clearly stated that that Wisconsin is a purple state. It's not Democratic. It's not Republican. That's his belief, and that's probably one of the reasons why he made this decision. Your thoughts on him clearly saying that we're a purple state, and he wants people to know that?
Well, the most Democratic purple state, Earl, would be one where the composition of the legislature reflected the composition of the vote. One person, one vote. There were maps on the table. Most of the others that the Supreme Court objective experts, academic experts from outside the state of Wisconsin, had already rejected, the Republican ones that they said were gerrymanders. And everyone knows that, except Republicans deny it and their enablers, like the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which is unreliably out there with lots of money to make lawsuits on behalf of one side and ones that are very slanted, and they were involved in this. So this doesn't do that. We had a lot of good government advocates give a lot of cover to the governor, stand with him at the press conference, etc. And they offered all these other standards of fairness. I don't know where these standards came from as moral absolutes. And I don't know how they can be judged against the question of whether workers have a right to form a union, whether our kids have a right to a first-class education, and all kids have equal access. You know, have some kids in urban areas and in rural areas who have underfunded schools, and they already come from families more economic challenges, versus those in wealthier places with high property value, white flight suburbs is how these suburbs were created. Let's call it what it is. So that is the morality I'm worried about. And that morality means democracy is best served when the legislature, the composition of it, as closely as possible, reflects the voters of this state and the composition of the vote. And the other standards about how you cut up communities and how maps are shaped and this, that, and the other, I don't know who made these great moral standards and how they stack up against the morality I just laid out in education, basic fundamental rights, the climate crisis, anything else. They don't. So these folks are basically confused about power and morality, but stand up there and act like the objective arbiters of what is fair and what is democratic. And so while I'm very passionate about all of that, Earl, we still need to we need to talk about it so we understand how we do it better next time when we get to a point where we have to decide whether a compromise is the compromise to make. That's endemic to politics. So we should learn something from it, but we can't stick there. We've got to go and try to win majorities with these maps, and that is for the first time in 14 years possible.
So Dr. Craig, how did they reward the governor? The lawmakers voted Tuesday to curb Governor Evers' ability to hire members of his cabinet without Senate confirmation. The same day they threw several of his lower-level nominees off state boards. That's how they rewarded him. Dr. Craig, for trying to do the right thing, they kicked him in the teeth.
They're illegitimately undermining the governor's power, the only person elected by all the voters, by violating and shredding norms that said, you know, the legislature's role in confirmation was, okay, if someone has scandals, if someone's totally unqualified, we step in, it's something rare. They're doing it simply on, they're not us, they're not who we'd appoint. That frustrates the whole structure. That is why they can't hold a majority. That is why maps that make that more likely, but less likely than it's been for a long time, aren't as good. So there's a question of something good versus something better at a time when we need as good as we can get to undo the damage and then build the state we need to build, Earl. And that's an example of it. And if they continue to hold one or both chambers, they will continue to act this way. This is the modern Republican Party. And, you know, democracy requires people to abide by norms. They're not doing that anymore. So it really is about who controls the legislature. There's no norms to protect the governor's power.
Well, you know, it is possible that Democrats can regain, you know, not the Senate. I mean, that's going to be a state Senate. That's going to be almost an impossible thing to do. But they clearly can regain the legislature. That's going to be tougher. Under these circumstances, right?
I mean, the previous situation was there was no way. You couldn't even win Powerball, as infinitesimal as the chances are. Now the chances are unlikely but possible. Has to be an election that goes well, and we have to do our things right. I have great candidates, have tons of volunteers.
Dr. Craig, hold the thought. 844-967-2789. Hang on the phone lines. Dr. Craig, Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent running high-profile projects in Milwaukee that change the city skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 262-970-5777 and press 0 to apply. That's 262-970-5777 and press 0.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go back to the phone lines and Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Your thoughts?
Hello. I hate to be an air hog today. But
no, go ahead.
I was kind of upset with Governor Evers for signing the fair maps thing because I knew he was going to get kicked in the teeth by the Republicans anyway. But then I got to thinking about it, and I'm thinking, you know, if he didn't sign that bill and it went to the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, you know what the Republicans would have done anyway. Oh, Janet Protasiewicz, she's going to have to recuse herself, and they would have made a big stink about that. So the poor guy was damned if he did and damned if he didn't. So,
thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig?
Well, she's absolutely right that they would have done that, and they've already cooked up a completely false scandal around recusal, as there's been no such recusal stare in the past, and that they've refused to recuse themselves for actual conflicts of interest, like receiving over $1 million from a donor for their campaigns and then ruling on their case. Okay, so it's complete hypocrisy, but I think we need thicker skin because them saying it over and over doesn't do anything. We got to learn to ignore them. There was a big dispute that's hard to unpack, Earl, about which way the governor signing these maps or the Supreme Court doing it was the least, was the most resilient to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, the Trump Supreme Court stepping in. Mark Pocan felt strongly, and we were talking about last week on your show, Earl, that that this Modi invites a federal lawsuit more and or intervention like we had 2 years ago. We were going to get better maps, and then Supreme Court intervened, but others think otherwise and that this is safer, other lawyers. Let me put it this way. Governor Evers will not be able to run for a third term if his way ends up bringing the Supreme Court in and returns Republican gerrymandered maps. So I hope he and his supporters are right and this is the safer course, because if Mark Pocan is right, then he won't be able to run for a third term.
Well, Dr. Craig, many of the governor's lower level appointments, I mean, listen to this. We're talking about obstruction. Many of the governor's lower level appointments have been blocked by Republican senators this session. Mm-hmm. As it is on Tuesday, they rejected Evers' picks for the National Resources Board and UW Hospital Board, all of whom have been serving while awaiting Senate confirmation. The people are already in the positions, Dr. Craig. They've already been doing the jobs. And in the face of that, Republicans, out of spite, have said we're not going to confirm them. I mean, he's trusting these people, apparently, Dr. Craig, who clearly don't have any trust in him.
They were willing, as we know, to develop maps that guaranteed they were in control no matter what voters thought. They are willing to sabotage democracy, because if you don't have the people on these commissions, how do you do the work of the Department of Natural Resources Board, the Public Services Commission, the UW Hospital Board, and so on? And it's so inside baseball, the public is mostly unaware of it. There's some news coverage. Very few people read it. It's not that informative anyway, because it doesn't really tell you that this is a practice that has never happened. This violates norms of over 150 years under the Wisconsin Constitution, and you can't run a government this way. It's very much like the national government, where it's a question whether we'll fund the government. It's a question whether we'll abide by our international obligations. I mean, we have sent the Ukrainian people forward in a fight against a much bigger aggressive power on the grounds we had their back, and now we don't, because Donald Trump told Speaker Mike Johnson not to have a vote. They're not going to have a vote on the Senate bipartisan proposal. Right. And they refused to take victory on immigration. I hated their border security stuff, but they couldn't even do that because they were afraid it would give Biden a victory. So it's the same level of sabotage, and it's every level of government. Every board, this is a state people don't realize, a lot of people. Our state government is full of boards, citizen boards, appointed boards, expert boards. They are frustrating a huge number of them and making it hard for them to operate.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. Your thoughts?
Morning, Earl. I got to ask you guys, Dr. Craig and yourself, don't you think Tony Evers. Tony Evers, I'm sorry.
I understand the mistake, though.
Go ahead.
Now, don't you believe he's smarter than we're giving him credit for? Because he pulled what in football or whatever you want to call it, end-around play, and he basically is making our state politics work in a bipartisanship fashion. Would you not agree? I'll hang up. Thank you.
It's not really bipartisanship. It's that he made a compromise he didn't have to make so he could get the credit for bipartisanship. That's Earl's point. They're not bipartisan. They're bomb throwers, and they're sabotaging him at every possible step, right? In ways that violate all previous conduct of previous legislators of either party when they were a majority. I would not say Tony Evers is dumb. I think it's more like, Earl, I don't know if you ever met Danny Davis, the congressman, the former congressman.
Yeah, I have.
My brother Ted, who you know, used to volunteer for Danny. Danny used to say when someone said someone they were opposing it was in the way was smart, he goes, he may be smart, but he ain't wise. So that's what I would say in this case about Governor Evers. And I put it this way. Let me give you a football analogy that works in Wisconsin. He played for a field goal when he could have gotten a touchdown. It's very much like what the San Diego 49ers are critiqued for in overtime, right? They need a touchdown. Right. They assumed, they made the judgment, take the field goal, and Patrick Mahomes then gets the ball. Guess what happened? A touchdown, end of Super Bowl.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is clearly kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And the fact that the ball was in the court of the governor, and the governor had the ability to move this to the Supreme Court, which is the reason why the Supreme Court election was so critically important. It's the reason why $10 million was invested in that race for the Supreme Court to be the arbiter of what the people wanted. But, you know, that is who the governor is. He didn't surprise many of us who know him. We kind of expected that. Is it safe to say that, Dr. Craig? And I need you to hold that thought.
Yeah.
Guys, hang on the phone lines. 844-967-2789. You two can join the conversation. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with none other than my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Up next, news, weather, and sports on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans are trying again to cut state income taxes by $2 billion. The state Senate passed a package yesterday that lowers taxes on people earning as much as $150,000 a year. Senate Republican Majority Leader Devin Lemahue.
We still have over $3 billion surplus in Wisconsin that's just sitting there earning interest. It's the taxpayers' money. It's time to give that money back.
Governor Evers vetoed two Republican tax cuts last year. The University of Wisconsin in Madison must now accept all high school graduates from the state who finish in the top 5% of their class. All other state universities have to admit grads in the top 10%. It's part of the deal for state money in exchange for diversity program cuts. Governor Evers signed the bill yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A local DA is trying to speed up the state Supreme Court. Sheboygan County District Attorney Joel Ermansky is petitioning the state Supreme Court to expedite the case seeking to uphold the state's pre-Roe abortion law. Ermansky urged the court to render a decision without deferring to the Court of Appeals. The request comes after a Dane County judge's ruling in July, which determined that Wisconsin's near-total abortion ban does not extend to consensual abortions. The man suspected of killing two people at that sports bar in Elkhorn earlier this month did not have a hearing yesterday as planned. The attorney for Thomas Rout Jr. waived his preliminary hearing. According to Elkhorn police, Rout admitted to killing bartender Gina Weingart and her spouse Emerson on February 1st. Investigators say he also took $140 from a cash register. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The Todd Allbush Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Beat with a 60-second showbiz beat. Actress Linda Hamilton says it feels surreal being part of the Stranger Things cast for season 5. Yahoo News reports that the 67-year-old actress says she is a huge fan of the show set in the 80s, and it does not seem real now that she is officially part of it, saying at times during shooting she suffers from imposter syndrome. Hamilton's breakout role of Sarah Connor came in The Terminator in 1984. Stranger Things Season 5 will drop sometime in 2025. Netflix has done it again. The network took yet another show that was already a success and made it even more popular. This Is Us was added to the streaming app January 8th. Between Netflix and Hulu, between January 15th and 21st, the show was viewed for over 900 million minutes and cracked the Nielsen top 10. I wish I had the patience to wait until every show came to one app instead of shelling out $4,000 a month for all the streaming apps so I can watch immediately. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny and mild today. We'll get to around 54 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 35. Tomorrow, a little light rain in the morning, then partly cloudy, 49. On Friday, sunny, 38. But we will bounce back with 40s and 50s into the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on the Shaw, 540 AM WAUK and the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Shaw, 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK and on the Civic Media app. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is my good friend, Dr. Robert Crick, Executive Director of Citizen Action. And let's go to the phone lines. Tom from L.A., good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts?
Yeah, first off, we the people ultimately are the government and not the corporations, and we all need to wake up and realize that. Second, we really need to realize Republicans are about one thing, and that's power. They don't care about anything else but having control and power. Democrats, this compromise thing and this bipartisan thing, all that tells me is both parties are bought off by the same donors when they do that. Because honestly, it's not for the good of the people. And the bottom line is we need, everyone needs to get out, and we need to have someone in Congress or someone in the House, whether it's the state or it's the federal, that has a profile and courage that's going to stand out there and say, we need to get money out of politics. Nobody says it. Everyone says, I don't take campaign contributions, blah, blah, blah. But none of them say we need to get all money out of politics and we need to get the lobbyists out of Washington or even at our local level. So I just want to say, like I was saying, Republicans are all about power. And that's what people need to remember. And I think Tony Evers might be just all about bipartisanship, but bipartisanship gets you last. Thank you.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Crick?
I would just add to Tom's, Republicans are all about power. I'll add one of the things they're all about. They're about using that power to benefit people already doing well, the corporate elite, the wealthiest among us. And you'll notice that the one thing Trump really got accomplished was massive tax cuts, the biggest tax cuts for corporations in American history, and temporary ones for average middle class people that have expired. So that's what they want to use power for, regardless of whether any of the rest of their agenda ever happens. I agree. Tom brings attention to the money in politics, and we need to understand that as a motive first and foremost. And he is absolutely right. There are a lot of Democrats who get money from the same donors, and that influences them. You saw it with the $500 million for a billionaire owner of the Milwaukee Brewers, Mark Antanasian, when we're underfunding public education and many other vital needs. And that is an example of that. And perhaps some of this donor class is very fine with having a Republican legislature that also supports Governor Evers, because then they can get more tax cuts, because there's no limit to how many tax cuts they want until it's zero. Then we'll have to stand, and then we'll have to give them, you know, refundable tax cuts that even if they have no tax liability, right? So I think he's right about that. I think the only way to take that on, it's really hard to get it from candidates that are elected by and run by big money, is candidates who don't take it, but are exciting enough and clear enough to get enough small donors not to have to take it. Bernie Sanders proved case. No one thought that could be done at the presidential level. I'd love to see it proven at the level of governor. It was proven by Paul Wellstone in the 90s at U.S. Senate level. It is possible, but you need someone who will stand for something and really give the public red meat and rev people up enough to be able to raise clean, small donations. And then that candidate, if elected, could get rid of what is legalized bribery, which Tom is pointing to.
Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Lynn. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. Thank you for taking my call. I just have one question and then maybe a couple comments. Were these the maps of least change? And I'm a card-carrying Dem, and I'll vote for Dems, but they're always begging for money. And I wouldn't donate to Josh Call, and I don't think I'll ever send Governor Evers another check. I feel totally betrayed. When we worked hard to get Janet Protasiewicz in as a justice, and then to have him have Governor Evers wimp out on this, it's terrible, because I don't think I didn't want more than 50% advantage. I wanted fair maps. And I wouldn't call what we put in, what Governor Evers put in, as fair maps. Thank you.
Thank you very much for a very important call. And she's, Dr. Craig, she speaks for a lot of people, right?
Well, the good news is it's not the made-up lease change standard that right-wing Supreme Court came up with. So that was made up and is now being ignored, even by their side. It was just a fig leaf. I think she's right to bring up the question of courage, right? But what I want to hold is, I totally understand what she's thinking about Governor Evers. And frankly, Attorney General Call hasn't shown a lot of visible courage either. Whether he was doing small things, I don't know about, but they're opaque to me. I know less about what he's done in terms of cases than I know about Governor Evers' policy. But we do have maps that are the first maps that either party could win in 14 years. What I would encourage her to do is not to get demoralized, because that lets what's going on go on, but to support down ballot candidates who are courageous and will take a stand and won't make bad compromises. Now, I would just say I'm not against compromises. You have to do that to govern. That's what democracy is, because we're pluralistic and you have to have people to agree with you. You have to know what a good compromise is when you're getting the far end of the possible, what a bad compromise is, like accepting paying $10,000 more than a house than you need to pay for it if you're bargaining over any purchase, right, where it's there's a back and forth or a car. And so that's what we need. And we need to pick up the legislature, but we need a different. We have some very good legislators. I could name some in your viewership that are strong, and Chris Larson, Supreme Court Macunde, Christina Shelton in Green Bay. There are others, Francisco Wong in Madison. The point, though, is that we need more of them, and it's not that they won't compromise. It's they don't compromise just to look good or just because it's easy or just to be courageous, because they're not courageous enough. And look what Navalny in Russia. He knew he was going to be arrested and sent to gulags, and he came back because he cared so much about restoring Russian democracy, a different vision of what Russia could be. And we have people who are just so afraid of losing their little jobs that they won't do what they're elected to do, which is have some backbone.
You know, Dr. Craig, your thoughts on the proposed 4.4% bracket that the Republicans proposed for tax cuts, single people $112,500 and joint filers $150,000. That the governor, you think he's basically, he may veto.
It's in different bills. He's said he may sign some parts, not other parts. He should sign no parts. And virtually no Democrats voted for any of these. So he's supposed to be the leader of this party. He doesn't really act like he has to like be in line with the Democratic legislators or act like the leader of the party in terms of positions. He certainly takes that position and says, I'm the leader and you need to support me when it benefits him, what he's trying to do. But they're all regressive. The change in tax brackets, the vast majority of the money goes to people who make six figures and more, because that's what they do. The retirement income thing, making it non-taxable. When we got rid of pensions like your generation had, Earl, at the manufacturing plant before they destroyed the manufacturing unions and then the public employee unions, people had retirement, average people taken care of. Most people, middle class and lower income people, don't have enough saved because they don't make enough and they don't have a pension, and therefore they benefit very little. This benefits more people who make enough money to have big 401ks. I'm okay making that tax-free, but we better supplement the retirements and give dignified retirements to all the people who have little or no retirement saving, which is a very large percentage of workers in the state right now. Child care workers, home care workers, all these vital professions, nurses, aides, they have no retirement money, and we're going to give the money away to people who have retirement money. It's outrageous. That's one I'm afraid he's going to sign, because a couple Democrats voted for it, not many. But it's totally regressive, and it could be part of a package that really created retirement security, but not as a standalone.
You know, Dr. Craig, right now you've got Republicans and Democrats who both agree on child tax credits. long overdue.
We can talk about that too.
Yeah, we live in a state that has basically the Joe Biden already had agreed to increasing child tax credits nationally. The state of Wisconsin, under Republican leadership, $6,000 per, I guess, you know, family is what, you know, they basically were proposing or allowed in this state, $3,000 per child, $3,000 per child. On a national level with Joe Biden, that was, you know, $10,000. So do you trust these people?
No, I'll tell you. There's a huge difference. And, you know, one of the risks to democracy is the policies like tax policy. They're so complicated. People just hear child tax credit and it sounds the same. There's a vast difference. And this is what a deal Clinton made federally in the 90s that has caused huge inequalities. When you hear the term refundability of a tax credit, what that means is if you're low and moderate income and don't owe as much taxes, you still get the full value in a payment. The income tax credit is the most well-known refundable tax credit. It's very progressive because it helps people who don't make nearly as much money. This is all non-refundable. So it helps little or not at all the people who need the most help, and it helps people further up the income scale. No Democrat in their like mind should support it, but President Biden's child tax credit reduced poverty by 45% nationally, an amazing thing temporarily because of Joe Manchin. It wasn't made permanent, right?
Yes.
Because it was refundable. And what Evers wants to sign here is not refundable, and therefore it is regressive, and therefore it should also be vetoed until it's refundable. And if they want it for people who owe more taxes, we should not sign it until we give it to the people who need it the most, the lower and middle income and working people who are like nurse aides and education assistants and home care workers, all fast food workers. These are all professions that deserve dignity.
You know, Dr. Craig, and also professions who have children as well.
Yes.
Who go to work every day and do the things that we say people are supposed to do, who are struggling and trying, and yet we ignore their plight and punish them as if they don't count. You know, only the middle class counts and not those who, you know, are below the middle class who we don't see, right? Because we don't see them doesn't mean that they aren't working hard to do the exact same thing that others are.
I think the standard should be that state Democrats need to go at least as far as President Biden. Now, President Biden has adjusted over time to the political, you know, the values and the politics of the time. He has become dramatically more progressive than he had been in decades on a lot of domestic policy like this and the climate issue and racial equality. He has not moved as much on foreign policy, and that's why Gaza policy is such a mess. And so we need to be able to hold both thoughts, but you would think that Governor Evers at least would uphold Biden's standard on what is worthwhile for a child tax credit and what isn't. Same with climate work, same with infrastructure, all of those things. And he doesn't always do that. He reverts to a kind of Bill Clinton 1990s vision where you're bargaining with Newt Gingrich when we don't need to do that.
That's a great analogy, by the way, Dr. Craig, one that I dread. 844-967-2789. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We'll continue the conversation on the Earl Ingram Show. Let's cut the rum, little chap and gentleman. We want the best, we won't settle for less. Don't be a drag, but here's the thing. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights.
Ovdi's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Ovdi could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Ovdi at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Moving Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, so the Republicans have trotted out a trial horse, Eric Ovdi, who ran against Senator Tammy Baldwin once before, but he was not able to defeat former governor's name who ran against Eric Ovdi? He was
Tommy Thompson. Yeah,
okay. How could I forget Tommy Thompson? Yeah. and he couldn't defeat Tommy Thompson, who was, I don't know, 75 years old himself.
He looked different than before. His hair was a weird color. Yeah. He tried to sound MAGA. It was very weird.
And so they've trotted out Eric Ovdi. And Eric Ovdi is a prime example of the kind of person that they have in mind constantly. Very wealthy, young guy, you know, very wealthy. Who clearly does not understand the average person, what the average person has to deal with, be they Republican or Democrats, be they rural or urban people. And so they lead people to believe that this is the guy who's going to turn your life around. We've got to vote for Eric Ovdi. He's no different than Michaels, who ran against Governor Evers. They bring these younger guys up with all this money who supposedly self-made, great businessmen, Dr. Craig, as if that's the answer to what's ailing our society. We need more businessmen running our government. Your thoughts?
Maybe it's refreshingly honest, Earl, about who the Republicans are. Because you got Tammy Baldwin, a woman who came up of moderate means, you know, with health conditions, which she talks about a lot in her commitment to health, guaranteeing health care to everyone, came up, you know, through county supervisor, state legislature, Congress. She wasn't supposed to win legislature or Congress. And being the first avowedly lesbian member of the U.S. Senate, right? And really being popular, showing that she understands the people of the state because she is one of them, because she has lived the life of average Wisconsinites. Whereas who are they? They're the donor class. They are the billionaires, right? They're guys like Eric Ovdi. And, you know, his virtues might be he knows where the taxes are that he might have to pay that he wants to cut, and he knows all the other donors because he knows them from the country club, and that might help with a certain kind of Gilded Age politics, but it's not what any voter should want, so I guess they're going to try to make him a common man or all, and are they going to put him in a motorcycle or leather jackets, or what's it going to be?
Let's go to Bob from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Bob. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. Well, I remember when I was a kid in school and they talked about Boss Tweed and carpetbaggers.
Yeah.
Well, this guy comes in from California. He's a carpetbagger. That's all he is. He's a billionaire.
He owns banks.
And I'll tell you what. I'm a retired Teamster, and Tammy Baldwin did everything she could for us guys when we were fighting for our pensions. And I know Eric Hubge wouldn't have done that, just like Ron Johnson wouldn't have done it. And she has done more for Wisconsin than any Republican has ever done. And she gets my vote. And I hope she beats this guy like a rented mule.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gary from Sussex quickly, Gary.
Well, Eric Hufte is not a carpetbagger. I have no idea where this guy, Bob from Waukesha, gets this idea. Eric Hufte lives 70% of the time in Madison. He owns businesses all over the United States, and he started stuff. So, no, he's not a carpetbagger at all, zero. He has a home out there because he has a businesses out there. He also owns 9 other homes, the Huffy homes. And those are homes that are all throughout the United States that helps out women that have been trafficked.
He owns a lot of banks, right, Gary?
Oh, yes, that's his business.
I know.
How do you think? You know, you guys, I'm telling you, Bob out there out in Waukesha, I have no idea where he gets his information. I think he's been listening to too much liberal radio.
Turn to Fox News and find out what's really going on. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig.
I mean, I didn't say he was a carpetbagger. I've not paid much attention to the political gossip columnist Dan Bice and watched Journal Sentinel and whatever he has or hasn't said about that. I think there have been some headlines I haven't clicked on. You just line up Tammy's experience versus the experience of running banks all over the
yes.
and having, what, 8, 9 houses? Is it going to be like McCain? Maybe he'll remember how many houses he owns. Whoever shot McCain couldn't remember that, even though McCain did do some wonderful things like save the Affordable Care Act. But, you know, at least it's upfront who he is. But we should be able to critique as to why he should represent average people, right? And why someone who just has always wanted to be in the U.S. Senate and be in the cloakroom, kind of like as an ambition, why that should be our setter, because the people who have talent to lead average people like Abe Lincoln or Fighting Bob La Follette, they can't raise the money to run for office or run for U.S. Senate in this country right now with all the money. And what the great thing about Tammy Baldwin is she step by step actually overcame the odds.
Hey, Dr. Craig, we got to leave it there. It just does not last long enough. But the great thing about it is, as always, next week. All right, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and my friend, always enjoy having you on the line. I got to say this. A guy, Tony, said, I haven't thanked you, Earl, for putting on Dr. Craig on the air via video. And not on his phone. So thank you, and I can only guess other listeners are grateful. All right, Dr. Craig, I agree as well. Up next, Jane Madnair on air and Greg Bach. Enjoy the 50-plus degree temperature.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. Matt Nair.
they're on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Hare on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Her family is speaking out about a ballerina with dual U.S. Russian citizenship charged with treason in Russia after she donated $51 to a Ukrainian charity. Ksenia Karolina's former mother-in-law tells CBS News,
I'm very, very concerned about her.